Greetings, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville. Dr. Carl Armstead, Sr., pastor. Join our pastor as he preaches and teaches the Word of God.
I want to call our attention to the book of Exodus. You know, we in Bible study, we've been dealing with the themes of the first five books because they set the foundation of the coming of Christ. And in the first Genesis, we've been dealing with election because whether you know it or not, God chose you before the foundation of the world to save you. Amen. Some of us haven't caught up with it yet, but if you've chosen, amen. One day the Spirit is going to draw you on in. And in Exodus, where we're coming from, the theme of Exodus is redemption. And the thing about that, once you've been redeemed, the next thing you got to do is start worshiping. Amen. And so we're going to deal a little bit here because the children of Israel, after they had been chosen and redeemed by the blood, the next thing they had to do was to build a tabernacle. They had to build a place of worship. Amen. And so come go with me to, I want to slide one verse out of the 40th chapter of the book of Exodus. It's the last, amen, chapter of the book of Exodus. And while you're looking for it, I want to talk about when glory comes. And the 34th chapter. Thank God for Sister Hunter and the youth and their rendition of our Black History program. Amen. Did a fine job, all of them. In the 40th chapter of the book of Exodus, verse number 34, you'll find these words, because we just going to work with this verse. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meetings, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. You may be seated. Our subject this morning, as I've already said, is when glory comes. Let me begin by saying that there are certain words in the arena of our religious language which are by nature somewhat difficult in terms of definition. And such is the case of the concept of glory. Now, the word glory is part of our spiritual vocabulary. It's a word that is primary in our hymns as well as our praise. And yet, for all of the commonality of its usage, still the word glory somehow defies its own definition. My brothers and sisters, to speak of glory, the glory of God and heaven, which are his habitations, we note that the psalmist says that the heaven declare the glory of God. In other words, to speak of glory is to use a word that in its multiple ways denotes honor and radiance, pomp and power, and exaltation of splendor, worth, wealth, substance, and dignity. But now, what the Hebrew knew as kabod, the Greeks translated doxa. Now, doxa is the Greek root where we get our English word doxology. And that's why doxa is so all-inclusive and comprehensive and extends even to the Trinitarian manifestation of the eternal. That's why when we say glory, we say glory. Glory to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And so this morning, even as we enter this dialogue on glory. It is said that one Charles Haddon Spurgeon once suggested that the best a man can do when speaking of glory is stuttering and stammering. And yet at the same time, I want to attempt this morning to share a word with you on this idea, this notion, this concept of glory, because I thought it might be of some value for us to take a look at glory as we talk from the subject when glory comes. But now, Brother Jones, this whole matter of glory grabbed my attention while reading in the last chapter of the book of Exodus, because the text reveals that at this time Israel had come nearly to the end of her journey, because for 4 years at the urging of an old man named Moses, Israel had forsaken the fields and the flesh pots of Pharaoh and such of freedom and a land that flowed with milk and honey. But while on this journey, Israel had constructed a tabernacle built according to the specifications of the one chief architect. It was a tabernacle that was drawn on heaven's drawing board and designed as a place where God himself would dwell. It was a tabernacle, Brother Jackson, not a temple of mortar and stone, but a tabernacle that men could carry on their shoulders. And so it could not be compared, amen, to St. Peter's in Rome, to Notre Dame in Paris. It was not constructed of the elegant marble of the Roman Forum. It did not have the dome of gold such it would be found at Herod's temple in Jerusalem. But it was just a handmade, temporary, portable tabernacle. But now, for all the things that the tabernacle was not, but birth, it was the place where God dwelt. Because the Bible said that when the journey was almost over, when the march had come to an end, a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And so, if you don't mind, I'd like to discuss this matter with you concerning the glory of the church and the glory of the Lord, with the view toward discovering just what really happens when glory comes. But now I must confess, Brother Jeremiah, that at the outset I have some difficulty, I have some apprehensions and trepidation in discussing the glory of the church, because the church is not very high on the list of relevant institutions. Yet the church was intended to be a holy nation. The church was intended to be a royal priesthood. And so I'm concerned about the church, because it may be that the church has lost its focus. In many cases, it has lost its focus on its purpose. Because instead of the world conforming to the church, in our day and time, it seems that the church is conforming to the world. And so I can't help but feel and tell you that the church is in trouble, because someone once suggested that the real tragedy of the church is that the whole church of the first century was persecuted, but nobody wants to persecute the church today because it hasn't done anything worthy of persecution. But now, if you don't think that the church is in a crisis today, then just consider what kind of member you are. Just consider your allegiance, your commitment, your loyalty, and your giving of your tithes and your offering. And my brothers and sisters, the church is in trouble. But in spite of the trouble and the tribulation the church is facing, still the church is perhaps the most vocal testimony of the hovering presence of the Holy Spirit. Because my brothers and sisters, there is an unseen cloud that comes over the church and declares, no matter what, I will be with you. And that's why perhaps the question which should be asked is, if it had not been for the Lord, where would the church be? Because my brothers and sisters, history says that nations have endured evolution and kingdoms have been decimated by decay, and yet the church survived. Sociologists say that civilizations and cultures have undergone radical alterations and profound system changes, and yet the church survives. Political history says that all along the journey we've been wrestling against principalities and power, against wickedness in high places, and yet the church survived. Philosophy tells us that many men have offered new theories and new belief systems and new self-help efforts and individual diagnosis, but nobody has yet surpassed the timeless teaching of a barefoot itinerant preacher from Palestine by the name of Jesus. I tell you, the church still survives. But not only that, as we consider Black History Month, let me say to us that only the Lord could take illiterate sons and daughters of slaves and teach them to memorize scriptures that they could not read. Only the Lord could take those living in holy huddles and started out in living room and kissed them with divine blessing and then turned lean-tos in the temples and shanties in the sanctuaries. Only God could let us live through an unprecedented religious history where the likes of Reverend Ike and his naming and claiming has insulted us. Jerry Falwell has demeaned us, and Jim Jones has sought to dope us, and Southern conservatism has locked arms with white racism and found a moral majority of distorted theology in the name of the Lord. And yet, through it all, the church survived. Through it all, God's people are safe. And even more amazing, not only have the church and God's people survived, but from the ashes of slavery, from the rubble of Jim Crow and second-class citizenship, and from the debris of racism, the Lord raised up one from the church who looked like me and placed him in the highest office of the United States, the President of the United States, a man with a name that isn't even American, by the name of Barack Hussein Obama. And if folk don't understand why, it's because the church is covered and the very gates of hell cannot prevail against it. I tell you, the church is covered. The blood is on the doorpost, and a cloud covers the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord seals the tabernacle. But now let me say to us that there has to be a moment when glory comes. You need to know that God dwells with those who prepare for him. And so it is to the abiding credit of the children of Israel that they prepare a tabernacle. Yes, they were in the wilderness plagued by poverty and hunted by doubt. Yes, they were caught in a swirling social order of idolatry and iniquity, but they did prepare a place for God to dwell. But not only that, if you would just read this word closely, it shows that the tabernacle was there in the wilderness because the people had a willing spirit. In the same way today, churches exist because people had a willing spirit. My brothers and sisters, the Black church wasn't built because we had some well thought out financial program. The Black church was not built because we had some sophisticated management system. The Black church does not exist because we knew how to invest in stocks and bonds. But the church was built because of soldiers of the cross who had a willing spirit.
It is our hope that you were blessed by Pastor's message. Join us at our regular service weekly at 808 Anacoco Street, Leesville, Louisiana, or phone us at 337-237-2929. 238-4954. May God bless and keep you until we meet again.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT.